What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, so the big question is, how are we going to intro the show, Victoria?
Because we've tried twice. Three times. I think we've got a little bit of the Friday sillies. It's also Friday the 13th. We can mention that. It's a little early in the morning on Friday the 13th, and we're heading into the holiday season, and I think both you and I are feeling it a little bit. Lots of fun stuff going on in the NHL as well.
So much.
We're banging out this one intro. So you take it away, Mr. Ryan Payton.
Let's go. We're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. It's not just gold seeing gains. Silver demand is set to exceed 1 billion ounces by 2025. Silver, one of the most affordable ways as well for new investors to begin building a portfolio. Use the promo code PUCKSAND7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit sprottmoney.ca. That's sprottmoney.ca for more. Coming up later on, Scott Powers of The Athletic. He'll join us. We'll talk about those rebuilding Chicago Blackhawks, Victoria, and go outdoors too. Wrigley Field's coming up later on, and we'll do 77 seconds with Scott. We'll go to the East in a bit. Ton of storylines, not just from last night, but also the entire week going into the weekend. Let's begin with the West, and we'll talk about Vancouver. Thatcher Demko back, looked terrible in game one. JT Miller back as well from a leave for personal reasons.
It was really nice to see JT Miller back on the ice. Canucks fans were really appreciative of JT Miller being back on the ice. That was a nice solid win by Vancouver in his return as well. I'm not with you that I didn't think Thatcher Demko was horrible in his season debut. I thought he was mediocre. He let in four.
Give him the mulligan. Yeah.
Still, I think he has a couple of mulligans left, don't you think?
Sure,
I
know fair enough.
By definition, you're only supposed to have one.
Plus, you have Kevin Lankinen, so you can take as many mulligans as you want.
And Kevin Lankinen pitched a shutout last night again, helping Vancouver to victory as well. So they can take their time. He's going to be a little rusty. He hasn't played in months and months and months and months and months. Not in a competitive NHL game anyway. So I think we can give Demko a bit. The fact that the Canucks can win games without him right now, they do have quite a bit of leash there to work with. But I think the headline, we can't bury it. JT Miller back, JT Miller effective. JT Miller also telling all of us to mind our own damn business when it comes to why he was missing time, which you and I are totally fine with.
Absolutely.
Whatever is happening in your personal life is we talk about what you're doing on the ice and what you bring to the entertainment venue of the game. And your personal stuff is your personal stuff. So it's nice to see him back in action.
First time on the ice since the 19th of November, so almost been a full month, 3+ weeks, and everybody on the team, to a man, they said after how good it was to see him back, and I'm with you with that. We don't need to know whatever reason or reasons it is, and it was. We just hope that he's okay, and everybody involved is okay, and that's the end of that. But he certainly is a good part of that team, and when he plays well, he's a huge part. You know, Brock Besser doing his thing, of course. 500 games, too. Brock Besser, 403 points in 500 games, all with Vancouver. That's
pretty
good.
Nice to see him healthy again as well, eh, Ryan?
Very good. Very good to see. So Demko, I'll agree with you with the mulligan. I'll be nice. It's getting Christmassy. I'm not going to be a Grinch. Give him a mulligan. But again, you have Kevin Lankinen backing you up. That's pretty good. The LA Kings. Is this team for real? Are we going to crown them one of the best teams in the West?
One of the. So they've won. They won six in a row before they lost last night.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that.
No.
They're winning in decisive fashion. They're playing their defensive brand of hockey, but still figuring out how to score. So it's just, it's when you're looking at other teams like Vegas and now what the Oilers are doing, I will give them the status. I will give them one of the better teams in the West for certain. Okay. And I know where they sit in the standings and I probably should be more impressed. Do you know what? I think partially this is my fault. I don't watch enough of the Kings. I'm mostly highlights with that team or a first period watcher.
And that's
a West Coast issue, right?
Yeah, so that's fair.
It's I need to start playing a little closer attention. But just read it. Well, I know both you and I read recently, our good pal Dennis Bernstein tackled them for the fourth period, and he explained why they were enjoying more success. Yeah. And I believe Den, because he watches that team intimately. So you have to go from that.
They're very similar, and we'll get into Toronto in just a bit. They're very similar in the goals for and goals against. In fact, eerily similar. Toronto with 85-4, 74 against. The Kings, they have 87-4, 75 against. And right. We talked about this, I think, last week. What the difference is with LA this season. They're not scoring a ton. They're not going to win 5-1, 6-2. That's not their style. They've gone away from the 1-3-1. They're playing a better defensive game, and it's working. I remember I've spoken to Jim Hiller a couple of times. He just seems to have the team. He knows what's going on. They're buying into the system. Let me just say this, though. You look at the stats from last year. I am going to compare, and hopefully this doesn't happen. They began the season 16-4-3. You remember that, and on the road they were dynamite, had a 750 points percentage, tied with the Bruins for the best in the league on December the 9th, and then they went on December 27th after 0-4-4, 3-8-6, McClellan out, Hiller in, and then they wound up pretty good toward the end, and then they lost to Edmonton. So I don't want history to repeat itself, because I do think this is a different team, and Drew Doughty as well, not coming back yet, but he's off the leg boot, which is good.
What are we looking at, January?
I think so.
Mid-January?
And here's the thing, too. Let me ask you this, and I think we talked about this before with Ovechkin. It's one thing to keep Ovechkin out. He's skating again and to pursue
his...
We'll get to that in our Eastern segment. To pursue the great ones record, do you rush him back a bit more? I don't know. But with the Kings, if they're still in this position, say in January, and Drew Doughty is, you know, he could come back, but maybe he needs a few more games, give him a few more games. Right, you want him to be as close to 100% as possible, because if you want to continue this, what's amazing about it, and I know I'm going off, 75 goals against without Drew Doughty, a lot of that is without Drew, all of it's pretty much without Drew. That's really impressive, because Drew Doughty still to me is one of the better defensemen in the game.
He absolutely is. He's also a big minute muncher. You're talking about somebody who plays 24, 25, 26 minutes a game. I will say this. Of course, you're going to hold them out and be patient, especially if you do continue to win it for the Kings organization. I think the reality also is you're going to be dealing with Drew Doughty and his competitive nature banging down the goddamn door.
Absolutely.
To get back on the ice.
Absolutely.
So, and you can be the one. I can picture management and the coaching staff go, you go tell him he's not playing yet. You go tell him he's not playing yet. So there's going to be a balance there, right? Where they're going to have to talk to him about when is the best time. We want you to be 100% without question. There's no issue there whatsoever, but you know, he's going to be champing at the bit to come back. So
yeah, the key is there can be no doubt, Dee, that he's,
I smelled that one from a mile away.
Edmonton,
and it's not bad, but I smelled it from a mile away.
I know you did. Yeah. And we're pretty close too in where we are anyway. Edmonton, doing Edmonton things. The Oilers are oiling, as you wrote on the lineup.
The January Oilers are here, Ryan.
Right? Here we go. A few weeks too early, but doesn't matter. Hey, look, I look at a lot of games early on in the season, especially when you didn't get off to a great start. And look at some where statement games and statement ones are made. That was a statement one against Minnesota. You win 7-1 and you have goal scoring from seven different players. That's unheard of with Edmonton. Leon doing his thing. He is 21 right now. But I think that was a statement game. I really do.
I mean, they beat the Minnesota Wild 7-1. So, yeah. And here we're talking about the Minnesota Wild team that is the cream of the Western crop, many would argue right now. So, against their number one goaltender, I know Minnesota's a little bit banged up too. And you're not going to just take one small sample size of one game and say, this is where the Oilers at. But before then, they won a tight one against the Lightning 2-1. Mm-hmm. They beat the Blues 4-2 before then. And that's when the Blues were on the upsurge with the fresh
Under
coach
Montgomery.
Bump. Right? Yep. They beat the Blue Jackets 6-3. So the Oilers are winning again. And as you just mentioned, and this is absolutely key, it's not just, even though Leon Draisaitl was on fire last night, I think it goes 4-point night. It's not just the McDavid show. It's not just the Draisaitl show. It's more of a collective effort. And that is what we saw in the postseason.
We did.
Remember when that third line was effective? And that's why they were within a game of winning the Stanley Cup, because they got that extra support from the bottom six and from the second line.
And what have we said for so long about if you're gonna win in the postseason, then you're gonna need balanced scoring as much as you can, because you can have two of arguably the best player in the world is McDavid, mm-hmm. and arguably the second best. I don't know about now, but
top
anyway,
five, but sure.
You can have two of the top five players in the world on your team, but that doesn't necessarily, in fact, doesn't at all mean you're gonna go all the way. Zach Hyman, Kasperi Kapanen, Connor Brown, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Troy Stetcher, Derek Ryan, and Leon. That's a coach's dream. That's a coach's dream when not one player is carrying the bulk of the offense each night.
So we'll see if we're going to see more of that, because it was an off night for Mini too. I watched a fair bit of that game and they were not very good. Not the
Don't give
the
them
wild.
A mulligan. Come on. It's a statement. It's a statement game.
Statement game, right?
Yeah, that's basically
I'm not arguing
quiet.
Anymore.
Move on. Colorado, Vic, goaltending has been a major issue. They've been quite busy lately in the goaltending. I guess news around the NHL. Are we settled with yes. Colorado at this point?
Well, they're settled.
They're settled.
I don't know if we're settled.
But we're not.
But, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood are the two, the 1A, 1B right now, I think, tandem team for the Colorado Avalanche. Mm-hmm. Just as we all had drawn up in the summer.
I have them winning the cup, Victoria.
No, it's just so funny. It's like you're getting one guy from Nashville, you're getting another guy from San Jose, and now yeah. all of a sudden you have a completely – we were looking at Georgiev and Antonin just, what, not that long ago, and trying to mm-hmm. decipher how far they would go with that team, and most people determined not very far. And then all the talk about, oh, is John Gibson going to come back? Are we looking at a Cam Talbot situation? And yeah. we knew Mackenzie Blackwood was also – on the block. He was somebody that San Jose was looking at moving. So, and this was after the Wedgwood move. So, hey, you know what? Scotty Wedgwood has looked pretty good for them so far.
He has.
One iffy game. The rest of it has been fine. Mackenzie Blackwood has been great with San Jose. And now he's playing for a very different team in Colorado.
Yes, exactly.
Nathan MacKinnon doesn't play for the Sharks, man. So now you have, you know, this whole different supporting cast to work with. So this is one of the most fascinating stories to me right now, is how this is going to succeed. Because I don't think they're making any more moves in that. I think this is it. If you're going to do this now, you're not making another move in March, Ryan. I don't know if you see it the same way.
No, I do. I do. It's almost like you can't. That's giving confidence, and then you're not giving confidence. I think that'll mess with your head.
Reeks of desperation. Reeks
exactly.
of it.
And still, who would have thought this? We talked about in the offseason how everybody drew this up to be happening the way it is in Colorado. Nobody thought this was going to happen. They've given up the third most amount of goals. They're tied with Montreal with 109.
With that
Never
defensive
would have
core.
That.
With it's unbelievable. That defensive core.
Yeah. Yeah. The Western Conference is full of great teams. We've talked about a bunch already. Let me throw this at you, and then I can answer as well on the back into yours. Best team in the West right now.
I'm still going to go with Minnesota despite the 7-1 loss to the Oilers. One game is one game is one game is one game. They have the leading Hart Trophy candidate in Kirill, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. The fact that they've managed to win and score, and they are top of the West right now. I know, are they? Are they tied
1 point
with
back in Winnipeg?
They're one point, but they back. Have but they have games in hand. So
they
that's
have
why I'm
two
looking.
Games in hand. Yes.
Okay. That's why I'm looking at it that way. And they've done it with some key injuries as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. So recently, Eriksson Ek. And then for a while now, Zuccarello, who was absolutely on fuego for them before he got hurt. The fact that they're all getting it done defensively in net, and you have a superstar candidate up front who's hauling them into this situation as well. And you're also getting some good performances from Boldy and Rossi and all that.
Yeah.
To me, they're not a team I want to play if I'm coaching a team, particularly in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg has wobbled a little bit of late. I'm still waiting on Colorado. Vegas is the only one in contention for me right now. But to me, right now, it is the Minnesota Wild. You?
Yeah, the only reason I'd pick Vegas, at least right now, is because of what they've done in the since they've come into the NHL. I know I joke about it a lot. This team's been incredible since day one. The depth that they have. I know the goaltending, I'd probably be in the minority because Gustafsson is, the numbers are better and he's carried the load. Not carried the load, but he's been great for Minnesota. You talked
he's
about,
carried he's the up. Load. That's fair.
Okay. Yeah. And then there's Aiden Hill. So I think maybe 80% of the people would probably pick, if you had a choice, you'd go with the Minnesota goalie, say in a game 7 or something outside of Hill. But there's just something about Vegas, Vic. It doesn't matter where they play, where they're at in the standings, no matter who they have on their team. This team just knows how to win. So that's why I think they're the best team, even though they're third right now in the Western Conference.
But they're dominating.
Yeah.
I know they're third in the standings, but they're just dominating right now. And again, I think every podcast I'm going to say this until spring. How about that Jack Eichel?
No, oh, come on.
Honest to goodness.
Wasn't it last week I said, sorry, Nate McKinnon, you're done from my top list. It's
but
now
Jack. But you texted me the other day that you're back to Nathan McKinnon.
I am. Yeah, because I want to stick with the original, right? There's nothing like the original. Eichel, though, 39 points.
There's a couple different directions I could have taken there. And
I'm going to leave it alone. It's up to you. Eichel, though, 9 goals, 30 assists. Again, he, to me, is one of the smoothest hockey players in the game. One of the smoothest players. And it's so good. Remember last year we finally saw him in the postseason? Finally? He's going to go back this year. I mean, Las Vegas has a, you know.
Oh, no. I don't think there's any question.
Terrible disaster, which they're not going to. A change is good. For Alexander Georgiev, a change was needed. You go to San Jose. How about that? Change is good, Vic.
Hey, the San Jose Sharks are perfect.
Yep.
With Alexander Georgiev.
In how many games?
The pipes. It's never mind the details, Ryan. Never mind the details. No, he started against St. Louis, and he stopped enough. He actually didn't face a lot of shots. He only faced 20, but he stopped enough of them to come away with the win. The Blues were really frustrated in that game. But here's an opportunity for somebody who's essentially run out of Colorado, who has been hearing it from the press, from the fan base, from anybody with a mouth since the start of the season. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. This is also a human being. I like the fact he's getting a fresh start on the West Coast, given the opportunity to shrug it all off. And so far, 1-0 with the Sharks, and let's see what he can do moving forward, because he has an NHL career ahead of him still. It depends on the role. Is he going to be a backup somewhere? Is he going to, maybe he's going back to Russia. I'm not sure about that, obviously. But the fact that he got off on the right foot in San Jose for a rebuilding team, I think is an impressive feat.
I think this is a great change. And a lot of times I think you're going to a team that's struggling and they're still in this mode of, okay, are we going to be there in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? I think they'll be closer than that. And sometimes you think that's going to be a negative thing, but I think this is great. Next Thursday, mark this down, 6 nights from now, guess who the San Jose Sharks play?
They're going to play Colorado.
There you go.
Do you start him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
Unless he can't put his skates on, you start the guy. Put him upside down, whatever you do.
Because he's want to give them
exactly
a gesture.
I mean, imagine he posts a shutout. How about that?
Last one. We see that.
I know we do. It's just part of it. It's unwritten in the season until it actually gets played out and written out. Last one. Does Barry Trotz need to come in and come down from the press box and start coaching Nashville?
Does it matter? How many wins do they have? 8. I think they won last night. Is it 8?
8, okay. 16, and 6.
They won last night. It was actually quite an impressive victory. They can't buy a win.
No.
There's just something that's busticated there, and even the players can't figure it out. I mean, I suppose you have to move the coach at some point if this continues, what do you do?
You have to, but at the same time, I don't think that's going to change anything. I don't think so. You can't move anybody out, especially the guys you just signed. You can't do that.
Do you just shrug your shoulders and say, let's see how it all plays out? Because they're not making the playoffs.
I don't think Barry's going to wait that. He can't.
8
I don't.
Wins.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think it matters anymore now. That's my point. I think, honestly, ride it out. See, I know it's, my goodness, we're not even in the middle of December yet. Rody's like, let's see what happens next year. But I think that's what you need to do here. You just need to, and Roman Yossi's hurt now, apparently.
I know.
Crying out loud. Just see what happens the rest of the season, see if they can get it together, and then figure out who you're moving forward with in the offseason. I don't know what other choice you have.
I don't know. Among the stories that we did not see playing out at this point in the season, December 13, the lowest scoring team in the NHL.
It's such a crummy one, too. We were all so excited, but.
Yeah, the lowest winning team, that is, with 8 wins.
8?
8 wins. 8-30. And I like watching 30-30, but I don't like watching 8-30.
8-30.
We'll step aside. We'll come back. Don't forget, later on, Scott Powers will join us. We'll talk about Chicago. We'll dive into Bedard, what's happening there. Look at the new coach, of course, and go 77 seconds in with him. We'll go east. After this, Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Maniash, brought to you as always by Sprottman.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payne and Victoria Maniash.
And we're back on Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Sprott Money. Gold is outperforming everything in 2024, surging to 3,564 Canadian per ounce. 28% increase so far this year, and we've got, what, 15, 16, I don't know, 17 some days left to go. Use the promo code PUCKSAND7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit sprottmoney.ca. That's sprottmoney.ca for more. We've gone to the West. We'll go East in a second. Scott Powers will join us. And in the next segment, we'll talk about the Chicago Blackhawks, Scott with The Athletic, and we'll go 77 seconds in with Scott as well. We have a lot to get to, Vic, in the East here, the seven big topics. We'll talk about Patrick Waugh, Nikita Kucherov. He knows how to score and put up points.
He sure does.
Let's begin with Toronto. Are you worried about Anthony Stolarz and what happened last night in their game that they did win against one of the worst jerseyed team in the league, the Anaheim Orange Ducks?
Now, is it quickly? Before we get to Stolarz, is it that particular jersey you don't like? Okay,
yeah, it's so awful.
The Ducks in general.
Yeah.
Watching it with Lair, and he was expecting to see the CCCP across because it had that Soviet era feel to it. He
it's thought, terrible.
I'm not
I'd pick Nashville's yellow and your Tampa palm tree jersey, Florida jersey over that.
That obviously goes without saying. But I'm not in the habit of slamming jerseys because I think it's a waste of time and also negative, but I will agree with you in this particular case.
Yeah.
Those Ducks sweaters, we should call them sweaters. That's the traditional name.
Fair enough.
Those Ducks sweaters are not great. Okay, so that was a big tangent. Let's come back to it. Stolarz was absolutely fantastic against the game that they just won. No. The previous game.
New Jersey.
They had no business winning.
He was the difference.
The Maple Leafs had no business winning that game.
No.
And he helped pull it out of the fire. Also, a really cool Austin Matthews goal in overtime. But!
Can we talk about that for a quick sec?
Yeah, go.
Rolling puck. Outskated Pesci,
bouncy,
I believe,
bouncy,
right?
Bouncy.
And I don't know how close he was. Camera angles don't do it justice. But he roofed it. Markstrom's a big goalie. There's not much space. He roofed it. And he had, what, about 100 chances. So he was due. Anyway, it's one of the best goals I've seen this year. You can go through a team, all the fancy passing, but
no
what
argument.
He did in close, phenomenal.
Matthews is a pretty good hockey player.
Not bad.
Anywho, and then Stolarz comes back, gets a start again, even though a lot of people expected Wall to be back because the team seems committed to going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But when you put it into performance like you do against New Jersey, you obviously deserve the next start. And something happened. He tweaked something in net. He finished the end of the period. That is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he hobbled off the ice immediately, which is a less good sign.
Mm-hmm.
He finished off the period, didn't play after that. And now there's a whole bunch of speculation. At this point in time, it is Friday the 13th in the morning. It's quite early, so we don't know yet what the medical assessment is on Stolarz. We're expecting to hear something later on in the day from the Toronto Maple Leafs. People are speculating pull groin, very bad. I don't want that.
No.
Or hyperextension, which isn't great, but better than pull groin as far as I'm concerned. And with my limited medical knowledge, right?
We'll
take the hyperextension. So we'll find out later. To answer you the long and the short of it, this is the most long-winded answer I think I've ever given. I'm not worried about the Toronto Maple Leafs if this is a 2 to 3 week thing, because we're coming up on the Christmas break. They're going to get a little extra time off. If Joseph Wall stays healthy and you call up a Hildeby or whoever, I think they're going to be absolutely fine. Please, 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 let's not be this something that goes longer than 2 or 3 weeks. Please, 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 please. If you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, you don't want that. He's been one of the best goaltenders in the league this season, without question.
Well, the Sheldon Keefe the other night, when asked about, I forget what the question was, but he said after that game in New Jersey, it's because they have the best goalies in the league over there on the other side.
Would you argue it?
Sorry?
Would you argue that?
No, not at all. Not at
all. Okay, so like one and two. There are goaltenders who have played better perhaps individually.
Correct.
Gustafson is one of them.
Correct.
But in terms of a pair?
1A, 1B? This is like Swayman and Allmark at
their
peak.
But
right?
It is.
Yeah, it's like
great.
Swayman and Allmark.
So hopefully he is not hurt. Badly.
No, and the Leafs have been red hot, and I don't want their play to start getting cold, because it's been a sky full of Stolarz for Toronto for most of this season. Let's talk about the Capitals. I saw this statistic the other day, and I want to make sure I have this correct. In the first 19 seasons that Alex Ovechkin has been in the league, the Capitals lost 33 of their only 59 games without him. So 59 games without Ovechkin in 19 seasons, 23 of 36 in the past 10 years. Do they need him? Sure they do. But they're showing, my point is, and he won't be back till after Christmas, which is
we
just take your
time. We don't know that.
It's not, he's not coming back.
We don't know that.
Well, you have it on the lineup, so we have to, it's true.
I probably know
Ovechkin. I don't know the script. Anyway, they're continuing to be great without him, and they're one of the better stories in the East. In the NHL.
I still think they're going to slow down in the second half because you can only play that big, heavy, slow game for so long effectively. I think the other teams are going to start to figure out how to beat them with speed, but maybe not. Maybe we see them at they're the top of the division by the time that we roll around to April. As for the Ovechkin thing, it's starting to sound like, and I am annoyed because I want to see him back before Christmas. He's still only skating on his own. He hasn't skated with the team yet.
I don't
have to like it, Ryan. I don't have to like it.
No, you don't. All right. You can be as annoyed as you want. Ovi, get back to make Vic happy.
Annoyed like Patrick Roy?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Okay, let's get to that. I thought it was fantastic.
Me too. I really do.
And I think there's some disconnect. And I talked about this last week on our SiriusXM show on the Hot Stove we do. I think there's disconnect between Lou Lamoriello and Patrick Roy. I think there's disconnect between Lou and everyone else that he's been dealing with over his... He's, what, 172, I think.
Getting up there.
In his 150 years in the NHL. The point is, you beat Chicago 5-4. Big deal, according to Patrick Roy. Yeah, 2 points is 2 points. But he went off and how they left Sorokin out to whatever. I thought it was great. He ripped into the team. He thought it was terrible. That's not true. A lot of other teams wouldn't be doing that. But I really respect where Patrick Roy was going.
Okay, first of all, we should mention that the Islanders were up 5-1 with like 9 minutes left in that game.
Right.
All right. So they allowed the Blackhawks back in through the door to score a flurry. And a couple in the last couple of minutes, too. It was to the point that with a few seconds left, you're wondering if they're going to tie it up. When you were up 5-1, it's not something you should be wondering.
No.
Against the Chicago Blackhawks, which we'll talk to Scott Powers about, is very much a rebuilding team.
When you're 5-1 on any team, I'll give other good teams the benefit of the doubt. When you're a 5-1 on any team late in a game, you really should not even be sweating it to try to get a win. You should.
And I watched parts of that game, and there were 14 games on last night. So this morning was quite busy in terms of catching up on what I missed last night.
Right.
And watching just the defense for the Islanders, which is one of their strengths, Ryan, because goodness knows it isn't goal scoring.
No.
Their defense is their strength. Absolutely crumble and collapse in front of Sorokin. So no wonder Patrick Roy had steam coming out of his ears at the end of it. It would have been coming out of my ears, too. It was very funny listening to Marty Biron on TSN this morning. Very, very quickly, he talks about, because both of them are French-Canadian, obviously. French is their first language. And he goes, I understand, you know, when he gets mad or two, he goes, you're speaking in English, it starts to get choppier the madder you are, because it's not your first language. Now both Patrick Roy and Marty Biron speak English perfectly
and you can't catch up.
No, because you just want to use your first language and absolutely go off. So he goes, he knew it. So Marty's like, I knew he was really mad because his English is getting choppier and choppier and choppier. But yes, he needed to call that team out. That was a lackadaisical, lazy effort.
It was terrible.
One of the best. And the one comment he made too, and he said, Ilya's great. He's a gentleman. He didn't do it. But Patrick Roy said, if I was the netminder behind that team in this game.
Smacking sticks.
At least one. Yeah. You go back to the dressing room and you're destroying some lumber, man, because you are ticked off.
If he was in goal, Patrick Roy, he'd go up to the press box when he wanted to be pulled and say to Lou, I'm not going to play another game for the New York Islanders.
He doesn't do things like that.
No, not at all. That didn't happen. The Tampa Bay Lightning are happening. Nikita Kucherov is happening. Not a bad week he had in one game. A goal and five assists. Tampa winning 8-3 last night on Thursday. 6 points, five assists. They tie Lightning single game records. I still don't think, and I'm probably in the minority, I still don't think he gets the credit that he deserves.
I'm just going to point out a little fearfully that Nikita Kucherov scored as many points as your San Francisco 49ers did last night.
Okay. Who's in control of this? who's in control of...
I have been waiting to use listen, that one.
When you're told show. To go into a game and you're like, no, I'm not going in, it's awful.
They scored 6 points.
Anyway, carry on. This is about hockey, Victoria.
So the San Francisco 49ers scored 6 points last night against the Los Angeles Rams.
And all, oh, it's not all that be the Bills.
The Rams. No. And Keith no. Kucherov had 6 points.
Yeah.
Last night as well.
How so, long have you've been waiting, eh? You've been sitting on this
all morning.
For...
I when I got up in the morning and I checked the scorecard, the score sheet for the Lightning, I was like, ooh. Anyway, okay, you know what, though? In all seriousness, the Lightning what? Are scary again, and we talked mm-hmm. about this. And Kucherov, if you watched all of his moves in that game,
yeah,
he is so much smarter than so many members of the opposition in no, I know. So many different opportunities.
Yeah.
It is absolutely frightening. There are very few players, I will say this about, Connor McDavid's obvious one, and there's a handful of others. Nathan MacKinnon is another. That if you have that one individual on your team, mm-hmm. I am never ruling that team out.
No, never.
I'm just not. Connor Bedard isn't there yet. Now, to be fair, Braden Point also plays for, Jake Guentzel also plays for the Tampa Bay Lightning. A lot of other good players play, but he is such a difference maker, man. Mm-hmm. He's just one of those players that steals them for you. And he's going to be one of the reasons that the Tampa Bay Lightning, a lot of pundits, you and I may be in this boat a little bit, weren't convinced
yeah.
that the Lightning were going to be in the postseason picture. But now no. I think they are. But yeah. now I think they are. So, 6 points.
Kucherov, and I think last year, the year before, they I saw some video where somebody put together some of his most artistic plays mm-hmm. on the ice in one season. And there was one that he was in the offensive zone. Can't remember who it was against. That's not the point. But what he did was, before he even got the puck on his stick, he kind of looked behind him. This was before he had the puck on his stick. And he knew
maddening
whoever it was. Mm-hmm. And then he turned not... because he's a left-handed shot, I believe, right? Yeah, he's a left-handed shot. So he didn't backhand the pass. He turned around, did a, I don't know, triple sow cow, and did a forehand pass.
Right.
And say it was Hagel or say it was Point. They scored. I thought, how do you teach that? You don't. Anyway, he's fun to watch.
He's a wizard. He is a wizard.
You say that Detroit needs to trade Cam Talbot.
They sure do.
Why?
Detroit's going nowhere very, very quickly.
Okay.
I don't like watching that team anymore.
Okay.
Because I quite like them. And just geographically, I've always rooted a little bit because they're a little bit more nearby. Same with the Sabres. You just mm-hmm. have a bit of a kinship because I could literally drive to their arena and watch a hockey game.
Right.
There's something to be said for that.
Right.
I like Steve Yzerman. I like players on this team. And every single time I watch them play, I'm waiting for them to lose. That's how it feels right now.
Okay.
Psychologically.
Yeah.
They're not a playoff team, Ryan.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Okay.
No.
So what is the point of continuing in this direction without making changes as early as you can when you have a veteran goaltender like Cam Talbot, who has a year left on his contract for a bargain $2.5 million that any team in the league can take?
Tim, he's not the problem, though.
No, he's not the problem.
Can't
but
put
at
the
least
blame.
Get something back, though.
Fair
there
enough.
Are still teams out there that need goaltending. Carolina is one. Okay.
Sure.
And there's
and
others.
By the time the deadline hits, there could be more injuries. So yeah, I get it.
Okay, but
I get
now
it.
Do it now. You've got Sebastian Kosa now. Mm-hmm. Now you know showing he can compete. The up and comer is there. You've got other. They don't lack a number of goaltenders right
no,
now.
I know.
Is my point. You're not going to contend right now. You need to move Cam Talbot because you will get something back.
Yeah.
And if you want to continue in an upwards direction, because right now you're plateauing and you're not. All right. It's just a move needs to be made. And who else are you going to move? Who's going to take Tarasenko? Like,
no.
you know, there's no. not. So there's value to Talbot right now.
There is. Yep. No, I agree. I agree with that. And Derek Lalonde said after their last game, the game that they lost, it was last night, 4-1.
The Philadelphia
to Philly,
game?
Mm-hmm. He said that it was really tough for the team to waste a decent performance by Cam Talbot. So he was giving praise and props to Cam Talbot. Mm-hmm. Scott Laughton last night had 4 goals.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically Laughton 4, Detroit 1. I have a real issue, Victoria. I have a real issue with players going in and taking a slap shot, so close in front of a goaltender. I have a real, whether it's the shootout, it's not nice. It's not a nice thing to do. Okay? Convince me otherwise that going in, do something, whatever. Don't take out the aggression. The goalies face enough shots and they face enough miles per hour every night. What if something happened on that shot? What if it hit Talbot in the one place that maybe his pad shifted?
Too bad, so sad.
It doesn't need to happen.
First of all, I know you're very super serious with something whenever you address me as Victoria. I don't get Victoria'd from you very often. So I know you're very serious about this. Yeah.
Sorry, Victoria.
I have no issue at all with that. They're not doing anything illegal.
I know they're not doing it because it's not nice. To me, it's like a code thing.
Which goal? Which goal was it?
The one where he did the slap shot.
First, second, third, or fourth?
I can't remember.
Okay.
It was one of the goals.
If you're trying to win the hockey game and you're not up 5-1, you can do whatever you want.
So broke a scoreless tie. Scoreless tie.
So the first
goal, you take a breakaway slap shot? Come on.
I have no problem with that at all. You and I are not going to agree on this.
Score
by whatever means necessary. Just don't do anything illegal. So he was not trying it. There's no intent to injure. He's trying to score a goal.
I'm all right with it. I just don't think it.
Like, you don't like it. I don't like it.
It's not nice.
It's not nice.
Last one before we go west. We've seen some coaches on the hot seat, certainly.
Last one before we talk to Scott Powers.
That's right, Scott Powers. I forgot. But we're kind of going west with Chicago and him.
That's true.
In a second. Montreal, Andrew Brunette, certainly we're looking at maybe is on the hot seat. Well, not maybe, he is on the hot seat in Nashville. Martin St. Louis.
Mm.
The fact he's still there, look, I admire what he's doing. I love him as a coach. I loved him as a player. I thought that he was the right coach. This is year four, if I'm not mistaken?
Mm.
It's at least three. So I thought that he was the right coach for that team. I always think, too, there's a bit of a benefit with being a former player. Being a young coach still, there's just something about that on a team with young players, you can relate to them a bit more. I don't know. Montreal's like Detroit, not going anywhere. Montreal's like Nashville, not going anywhere. So what do? You ride it out, as we were talking about, like you do in Nashville, or do you make a move behind the bench?
I don't think
or neither.
There's any purpose to removing the head coach for a team that nobody had expectations for this season anyway.
Okay, so why then did we remove Luke Richardson? We'll talk to Scott about this. Why was he removed in Chicago? There was no expectations.
Same expectations,
I think, in Montreal.
Your point is made. Yeah. But the situation in Chicago, obviously now, once we heard afterwards, and yes, we will talk to Scott about this, once we heard afterwards that there was maybe a change needed for different reasons, but we're not hearing that coming out of Montreal. No, I suppose until we do, and maybe he gets fired in the next 2 hours. I don't see right now, looking at the list of personnel they have, especially their defensive core, Ryan Payton.
I know.
You're looking at their defensive core with some bright talent and just not enough support otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And you can bring in anybody.
Yeah.
In right now. So if they're listening to him and he's still gelling, then I think you just leave this one alone. But I'm not as sure about this as I used to be. He's not going anywhere. And now I'm more in the vein of he's probably not going anywhere. The one other player I want to bring up right now with the Habs before we wrap this segment is Sam Montembeau. This kid. I know he was named to Team Canada for Four Nations. Good for him. I know both you and I would have went in a different direction. But
everybody would have gone in a different direction.
But he's on the team now and it doesn't matter. But it seems that he is either awesome. So he's either pitching a shutout or he's only letting win one or two. Or he is getting lit up.
Yeah.
It's almost – so in fantasy, again, another job that I have, I tell people don't. Don't. He is going to break your heart. Yeah, I know he had a shutout the other night. I know. But you know what? Next night, he's going to let in six.
Yeah.
Seriously. So if you're not willing to ride the highs along with the low, ride the lows along with the highs, as I should say, it's wild. And I think that's more a product of what the defense and how the defense is performing in front of him. But it just doesn't matter. This kid, man, he's either letting in six or one. Right?
There's no, it's yeah, wild. He's consistently like that. Consistently inconsistent, consistent.
Like a sine wave. Remember that? He's like a sine wave, man.
Completely agree. Again, I don't get, and you and I talked about this when the Four Nations rosters were released.
Mm-hmm.
If the other two goalies say go down, we're not wanting that for Canada, you're not going to win with Montembeault.
Yeah, okay, but one of them is hurt before the tournament, you just bring in Logan Thompson and then you're going to deal with
good.
That, right?
Montembeault should not get a minute of playing time. It doesn't make any sense to me.
You might give the kid a shot to play with a good team for a minute. So that might be enough.
Yeah, fair enough. If it was a longer tournament, then I would. But if it was a real quick one, then maybe. Anyway, lots of stories that we recapped in the East. A ton, of course, that we talked about in the West. We will talk to Scott Powers of The Athletic, and we'll dive into Chicago, what's up with Bedard, the firing Richardson, etc. And we'll go 77 seconds with Scott as well. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matias, brought to you by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matias.
He is Ryan Payton and I am Victoria Matias. And now we are joined by somebody who I used to work with a fair bit back in the day, actually, well over a decade ago for a few years. But now Scott Powers is a senior NHL writer covering the Chicago Blackhawks for The Athletic. You were like a day oneer with The Athletic as well. That's right?
Yeah, right from the start. So yeah, it's been a minute, but it's been a good ride. So no, it's good to see you both. Thanks for having me on.
We really appreciate having you. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot of Blackhawks because you cover the Blackhawks pretty intimately, probably more than anybody else. So, I mean, it's been a busy couple of weeks there in terms of the coaching change. First impressions, I know it's only been three games, mixed bag of results so far. But what do you think so far about the new job, the new fresh look that Anders Sorensen is bringing to the team?
Yeah, no, I think a change was needed. It was depending on when it would come. Considering the Blackhawks are in this rebuild and sort of this is the first year they put together a legitimate NHL roster, where the first 2 years were pretty much just tearing it down and trying to get Connor Bedard and drafting high. It felt like Luke Richardson would get a larger leash maybe to this year, and they had an option on him, so they could have walked away from it at the end of the season. So my thought was, and everything that I had been led to believe, was they were going to let this play out. And I just think the way that the season began, that they needed something fresh and something different, and what they were doing, they were close but not winning. And I think some of this was on Kyle Davidson a little bit too, where that he felt like what he had put together this offseason was going to have better results. So I think Sorensen, he brings a different voice. He's bringing some different philosophies. They're being more aggressive offensively, getting the defensemen involved. We'll see whether it works. I think this is a more entertaining style to play, probably more fun style to play for the players. So they're engaged, they're aggressive on the forecheck. The defensemen are jumping up in the play. Whether this team's good enough to actually win a lot of games, I don't know. They've been in a lot of games, and I think it's something that's like 27 in their first 28 games or whatever we're at now. There's only been one game where they haven't been either tied or leading or down a goal within the third period. So like they've been in a lot. It's finishing him, and it's you can kind of, I guess, question the quality of this roster still, where it's not meant to win a ton of games, but I think they're expected to have more results. So I think the players are they've certainly bought into Sorensen because it does bring in a different style, and I think over time we'll see whether it brings better results. But I do think at least he's got the buy-in from the players, which is probably key at this point of the year and him coming in fresh.
Yeah, you need a huge buy-in, and you got to be offensive if you have a guy like Bedard on your team, right? I mean, that's all he knows. I mean, he's a good defensive player too, but yeah. That's where he gets the bucks. Going back to the offseason after last season, the expectations for you coming into 24-25 with Chicago, are you kind of, forget about the coaching change, but is the record and how what you've seen kind of what you expected?
Yeah, I think the fact that they are in the games is sort of what the expectation was, bringing in Bertuzzi and Teravainen, and they're not going to change your team too much, but they're going to make you more competitive and bring in TJ Brody and Alec Martinez and Pat Maroon, Craig Smith, Laurent Brossoit obviously hasn't played, but they brought in a lot of players who at least had NHL experience and veterans who have been around winning teams and understand hockey at this level. And I think the last 2 years they've had, borderline, NHL, AHL players, got a lot of rookies, obviously Connor Bedard, 18, Kevin Krejcinski was 19 last year. So you had a lot of players who were inexperienced. And then, I think the expectation was to take that next step. And it was never really defined what that next step was. But I still think the Blackhawks were sort of positioning themselves for maybe a top five pick again. So, and last year didn't go as well as expected, where they thought they were going to be better. Injuries led to that, and other, there are a lot of different elements that played into that. But, if they had been 20 points better, they still have only been moved up two or three spots. So, if there's they had such a large room for improvement. So I think Davidson was hopeful that they would look better. He can sell growth and improvement, but also still, banking, like, they still need talent within this organization. They have a lot of draft picks coming and prospects, but whether they have those elite forwards beyond Bedard, time will tell. So having another top five, top six pick or whatever would be key. And they're obviously kind of, pointing in the same direction again here.
Now, how, speaking of Connor Bedard, frustrating season so far, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How do you get him going? Is it a change in line mates? Is it actually just letting him develop some chemistry with the same line mates?
You trade him and get pieces back. I'm just kidding.
You'd be surprised to sort of, I guess the Blackhawks fans have already kind of fallen on the bust label and let's get as many pieces as we can for him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's a little far.
We'll maintain that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Keeping him within the organization, which is obviously the long-term goal.
Yeah.
How do you get him going this season? Is it a change in line mates? Is it just letting him stick and develop some chemistry with some for a little while, which hasn't really happened this season? What do you suggest?
Yeah, it's probably a mixture of all of them. Like, it's certainly the line mates. You can only shake these line mates up so much, like there's only a few offensive players, true offensive players like Hall and, maybe Teravainen and Bertuzzi that sort of makes sense. Philip Kurashev had a really good year alongside Bedard last year. Yeah, nowhere near this year. So,
nope.
They've stuck with that. Ilya Mikheyev doesn't probably make a ton of sense in the top line, but he showed some promise. And I think they do. Sorensen came in, had an idea of what the first lines were, and then sort of shook those up pretty quickly when he didn't see it. And now they're, sort of where they're at. I don't know. Some of it's really confidence. I think for the first time in the kid's life is that he had his confidence shook, not scoring for, whatever it was, 12 games or whatever.
Sure.
I think I've never heard of him as down as he was over, it's only been two seasons I've covered him, but, certainly had a lot more results in junior. So I think that has to get back there, scoring a goal like he did last night against the Islanders, very much a Connor Bedard-esque goal where he's, putting it around the goalie and just beating him with a flat shot. And some of it's him learning the NHL too, he likes to carry the puck a lot, and it's hard to score when you're the only one that's sort of transporting the puck. Like, you need teammates. You score off one timers and you score off, passes in this league often, unless you're Connor McDavid or someone who can really beat teams with speed. And, even the best players, they need teammates to do this. So I think some of that's him learning some chemistry with teammates, learning them, the Blackhawks learning how to better utilize him, whether it's on the power play. I mean, the power play should be his bread and butter with his shot, with a one timer or, certainly the chemistry part too, of just kind of not having him have different line mates every game. It certainly has a factor into it too. So I think it's a variety of things. And early in the season, I don't think that he was that far off. Like, the shot totals were sort of where you wanted them. He was shooting as much. He was creating, probably just not getting the results. And then, when I think over time the frustration built and eventually he just, his confidence kind of shrunk too. So overall it led to where he was and he's building out of it. He's had a couple assists here, scored the goal. So certainly not what you expect, of this alleged generational talent and where he was drafted and the hype that was around him. But, I think it's definitely still in there, and it's just, I think playing for the Blackhawks isn't easy too. Like, this isn't a team that's scoring goals around him. So, it's hard when you're such a focus and so much is demanded on you, and So much as, you know, I mean, he's the one who's where we write about it continuously, just because there aren't many pieces that you think on this team that are probably here for the future. And he has such a large role in what they're supposed to be. So I think all that comes into play. But I do think a lot of the mixture of what you said there probably would help him over time here. So we'll see how this unfolds.
So the answer is everything.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Yeah, for
yeah,
sure. Right. Right. Long-winded answer for everything.
Yeah. To your point about insulating Connor Bedard, and a lot was made when Davidson made the moves to bring in toughness, right? You got to surround him. All the years ago with McSorley, with Gretzky, for example, I know that's a little bit of a comparison, but you get what I'm saying. The insulation, though, to your point about he needs line mates, he needs players to play, he needs help. Is this offseason, don't like to go to the offseason already, there's games to play, but I think you have to look at this with Chicago. Yeah. Is this offseason going to be one of those where Davidson needs to sit back and think, okay, I'm going to look at my roster, who can we move, who stays, but we need to get him help. You can talk about the best players in the game. They have help, whatever line they're on. And in this case, it's not happening, Scott.
Yeah. No, I think the challenge is who ends up in free agency, right? Like it's right now we can point to Marner, Rantanen. There's a few guys who probably fit that bill of the type of player you'd want him to play with. It's just whether those players actually get to free agency, they don't often happen. What a star player like that, what a team will want for a player like that, usually it's a lot of draft picks or prospects or mm-hmm. Something and I don't know if the Blackhawks have that or are willing to give that up yet. Like if they're going to be drafting one or two again, what's that price? So I think as long as Danny Wirtz and the ownership is giving Davidson the leash to be patient and allowing this rebuild to play out, I think they'll pounce when they need to, and if they see an opportunity when those guys hit some market, I do think they took a bigger swing this offseason.
But even this, I think they
missed on some players, and mm-hmm. and Teravainen and Bertuzzi ended up being the backup plans. Where I'm not even convinced that Bertuzzi's here for 4 years. Like if they at some point they have those players that develop, they'll buy someone out. Like they have the cap space, and certainly at this point, like it doesn't seem like Connor Bedard's contract. It'll be large, but he'll probably wait another year to sign it to sure. kind of figure out where that number is. But the fact that some of these prospects haven't panned out as quickly, it gives them some leniency on how maybe they sign someone quicker. Maybe they sign a big player if Rantanen or someone comes on the market. Maybe they do go that way where I think the hope was now, some of the draft picks like Korchinski would be here permanently, where he's just, just hasn't found it yet. Frank Nazar, they drafted early in that same draft and 13th overall, and he's in Rockford. He's playing really well, but I think mm-hmm. they didn't see what they wanted to out of camp. But there's a lot of hopes for players coming on over the next few years. So it depends on how patient they are, but there has to be an urgency a little bit for Bedard, knowing that you want him playing with that type of talent and seeing sure. what you can untap and him learning how to play with that talent too. Yeah. Where right now he's having to do a lot of the lift, and you want some of those players to kind of help carry him too. So I do think the Blackhawks will definitely look at it this offseason. It just mm-hmm. depends on what's on the market. But I don't think the financial, at least that aspect of it isn't too big for them. I think they're willing to invest if it's the right piece. Just it's hard to say whether that right piece will actually be available.
Right.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Toronto is probably going to re-sign Mitch Marner, but I'm trying to picture Mitch Marner with Connor Bedard right now, and that would look pretty good.
Nice 1-2 punch. Yeah.
That would look pretty good. You mentioned ownership right now. Well, in terms of patience and spending of money and all the rest of it, taking that into a different direction, can you please explain to me why TV blackouts, local TV blackouts, are still a thing in this market and how it affects fan engagement? Because I don't get it.
Yeah, no, CHSN, which they started up this year along with the White Sox and the Bulls, they were hopeful that this would go out, play out a lot better than it has. The rollout's been horrific, where they just they had this OTA option over the air, and people get it for free, but it was supposed to be more of like a backup plan where it reaches people who right. aren't able to get it. And the key one in the Chicago market is Comcast, and they were hopeful to get the channel on Comcast, just as NBC Sports Chicago, which was which carried them before, was on Comcast, and Marquee, which is the Cubs channel, is on Comcast. So the hope was to get on Comcast, and even if you have to go to the top tier, it shrinks the market a little bit, but it still gives you a majority of Chicago. So the fact they haven't been able to get it on Comcast, YouTube's not interested, Hulu's not interested in regional sports networks. The app's been, they finally rolled out the app, but it's a price point's pretty high at $20 a month. One team, it's $30 a month for all the teams. And It's another, you know, like it's easier to watch the Blackhawks if you don't live in Chicago than you do. And you know, like this shouldn't be how it is, you know, like it shouldn't be this inaccessible. So I think it's a bigger, you know, for the Bulls, it probably doesn't matter as much. They have plenty of money and there's plenty of interest there, and they're always going to be doing okay. For the Blackhawks and hockey, like it's still, you know, like it's still a challenge in this market. Mm-hmm. I think where certainly they've built it over time with the three cups and all the success they've had, and certainly the attendance hasn't been hit too much. But you know, from what I've heard, the numbers on the viewership are really low, and eventually that's going to hit you. Like if you're not winning games, and it's been a while now, like they haven't been to an actual playoff since 2017 outside of the bubble one where they were included. Mm-hmm. It's been a minute since they've been in the cup, so the relevancy isn't there anymore, and if it's not accessible and people aren't going to go out of their way, they're not going to spend this type of money to find a team that they you know, even with, you know, it'd be different if Bedard was on track for 50 goals too. I think you know, I think that interest last year he built up, and this year that's waned too. So I think there's a lot of different elements that play into this too. But I do think it's probably not a good thing for the Blackhawks' future if they don't get this right and start to try to at least have people able to watch it, because it's you know, people are doing VPNs or illegal streams or finding ways around it. But there's also people who are just turning them off and don't care. So I think the indifference should be what scares them here, and people just you know, like the Blackhawks, there's no reason why the Blackhawks have to be you know, as popular as they are. They're living off of this last couple decades, and before that, you know, like there were times where the Blackhawks weren't on TV, there were times where they barely drew anything. So I think there should be some fear that it could return to that, especially when you have a rebuild where there is no end date and there's no absolute to it being successful. So it's the one thing that could have gone right, CHSN, and it hasn't. So I think it's another one that the ownership probably has to be concerned about.
Right. They do know it's the Chicago Blackhawks, not the Blackouts, though, right? I just want to be sure.
It does, yes.
Still the team name? Still the team name.
Yes.
Oh, Victoria, stop shaking your head. Let's talk about a good thing coming up. The Winter Classic, always fun, whatever teams get to play outdoors. Talk about the buzz in the city at the moment.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean, it's the fact it's at Wrigley, it'll do well.
I think it's awesome. I know they've done it before, but I think it's awesome.
No, I think part of it is there isn't, like, there's buzz in that. I'm sure that day will be huge, but the fact that there hasn't been buzz about the Blackhawks, and I think the CHS thing is, you know, as much as the team's struggling, like, the biggest storyline for the last 2 or 3 months has been the inability to watch games, so... obviously that'll be a national broadcast, and you know, everything will be perfect for that day. And, you know, St. Louis and Chicago, certainly a rivalry, and, you know, Wrigleyville and all that stuff will be great. It just, you haven't felt the buzz yet, because of the team and everything that's surrounding it. So I think once the time comes, that'll, I know that the NHL is arriving now when they're starting to put it together. I actually live about 10 minutes from Wrigley. So, it's certainly, you know, like things coming together and all those trucks and all the things they have to do. And it's a really small area around Wrigleyville. And I know when I went to a press conference there last week, they, you know, it's a really tight fit for them to even get stuff in, because it's around the neighborhood. And, but it's, you know, from what they did in 2009 to now, you know, how they do a presentation and how everything's evolved so much. So it's going to be a bigger and better show than it was, you know, 15 years ago. So I think once the time comes and it comes, you know, when that starts building, I think there'll be a lot of hype, and I'm sure people who have tickets are excited. But I think the fact that the Blackhawks have been so relevant this year and over the last few years, I don't think there's as much buzz as there probably was the first time around, where it felt like that team was really building, and you had, you know, Kane and Taves, and now you know, it would help if Bedard was going into like a hot streak then, or if Frank Nazar comes up from Rockford, I think there'll be a little bit more hype. But it'll be an event, you know, like. Hockey at Wrigley, it'll certainly be.
You're such a buzzkill, Scott. You're such a buzzkill.
I read the comments way too much. So
it's reality. I get it.
Yeah, I'm living it. So yeah, I'm just
Okay. It deserves full respect. I'm looking forward to watching it on television. I love watching those games on TV. Yeah. If there's something a little bit magical about them, especially New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Veering away from the Blackhawks for 1 second, biggest story in the West to you so far this season, negative, positive, however, or one of them. I know there's always a few to choose from. So what's striking you right now that you're just like, didn't see that one coming?
Yeah, I thought Jim Montgomery going to the Blues was really interesting. And when you, okay. when you talk about the Winter Classic, and I think the fact you'll have two new head coaches in that game that you probably didn't expect at the time. And certainly, I guess it sort of affects the East, too, where the Bruins having mm-hmm. the downfall they have and the Blues being as aggressive as they were to get Montgomery. And, you know, as I'm kind of looking forward to the Winter Classic, it is interesting the Blues sort of went that route. And, you know, it's funny covering a losing team where you don't really think covering playoffs or you're not really as deep into like what teams the Blackhawks could see or how these right. you know who the best players are. It's almost like how are other rebuilds going. And you know, I look at certainly what the Blues are doing. I look at, you know, when San Jose's probably had a better start than expected, and certainly how, you know, Celebrini and Will Smith and those guys are starting to develop too. And you know, I think there's some pressure on the Blackhawks too. Like, you don't want to be taken over by a team like that where it's you know, who are probably in a similar position as mm-hmm. you, and they're supposed to be in a rebuild, and they're going about it in a similar way too. So I think there is some comparison there for the Blackhawks. So I think that's it's certainly there's a lot of different storylines with, you know, how you know, whether Edmonton's going to figure it out here mm-hmm. with certainly bringing in Stan Bowman, familiar with the Blackhawks, and you know, the Winnipeg success and that type of thing. But yeah, for me, it's often kind of following the yeah, some of those bottom feeders too, just to see how their rebuilds are going and comparing it to what the Blackhawks are doing. Where just haven't covered this rebuild feels like for the last decade here, and see how right. it's evolving. So,
right. I would love if Vegas all of a sudden just collapsed, just stunk for once. It's never going to happen. Vic and no, I talk about it all the time, like every year, and good on them. It's fun. Totally get that. Vic, do you want to address one more? Do you want to get into 77?
No, let's do 77 seconds. Okay. We're good.
All right. So here we go, Scott. You know this. You were fine when Vic explained it to you today.
Yeah.
So 77 seconds with you. Seven questions. Take as much time, little time, whatever you want. Nobody's hit 77 seconds.
We have this argument every single week with every guest. Brian always right. wants to go easy. Take as much time. It's 77 seconds. Quick fire answers, please, Scott.
All right. All here right. we go. Which Blackhawk not named Connor Bedard turns it around the most this campaign?
I think Tyler Bertuzzi. I think mm-hmm. his start was really, really tough. So he's only got some upside to reach.
That would have been my guess. When does Frank Nizar make his season debut?
I think sometime in the next month. I think they want to see how quickly this plays out. But yeah, they want him to come up here. If things are going well, then he'll be the first person to come up.
Right.
Favorite arena of yours to go to?
That's a good one. I like Minnesota. Just something about the atmosphere and just this, you know, I've covered a lot of Blackhawks playoff games there, and it's I don't know. I feel like Minnesota always brings it, and I like the press box and all the things that kind of play into the sports writers.
I like it.
That's the first Minnesota we've got.
Yeah, first one.
MSG. Yeah. It's nice to get a Minnesota here once in a while. Your favorite NHL interview you've ever conducted, player, personality, whoever.
Oh man. Yeah, let me come back to that one. Let me figure it out.
All right.
Who wins the cup?
I'm going to go Toronto.
You're welcome anytime.
Now our favorite guest of all time.
Anytime. This segment is 8,000 seconds with Scott Powers.
That's an awesome answer. I think that's our first Toronto this year, too. How many wins for the White Sox next season?
Oh, boy.
I had to. You used to cover them. I had to.
60? Yeah.
Okay. 60. Well, it's better than 41.
All right. I don't know. It's got to improve, right?
It does have to improve.
It can only go up. Best restaurant in Chicago.
That we can afford.
Yeah,
I like wings, and there's a place called Buffalo Joe's in Evanston, so it's right outside of Chicago, and it's the best wings I think they have. So certainly a lot of Chicago places, but it's very specific to my interest. So there's a place called Buffalo Joe's in
Ryan
Evanston.
And I like wings too, so that's very specific to our particular taste as well. Let's return back one of your favorite interviews.
Interviews.
Just one of them.
This is gonna be really odd, but there was a Blackhawks prospect called Max Shalunov who the Blackhawks kept on their reserve list for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and could have probably remained a prospect until his 30s and never signed. And I ended up interviewing him at a world championship in I think it was in Russia. So I think it was just like the oddest one where I probably never expected to write about the guy. And he was just, he almost helped build the Athletic a little bit where like we found out he was on this reserve list and he became a star player in the KHL and the Blackhawks still own his rights. And we used to write about a lot in the Athletics, especially when we weren't credentialed early on. Like it was,
right.
It's Athletics certainly come a long way. So it's, yeah, it's yeah. It's, so it's really, really random. But I'm actually looking off the fact that I actually interviewed this guy who some people didn't even think existed. So it was in Russia too. So certainly it was a different one.
Fascinating.
Certainly interviewed a lot of great players and players throughout the Blackhawks.
It's interesting that sticks out. That's interesting.
It is. So. It is. And if the Leafs do win the Cup, Scott, we'll call you from the parade and we'll get you on. We'll see. Only time will tell. I know
it's got to happen at some point. Having been here for the Cubs, it has to happen.
It has to happen at some point, Scott.
Does it, anyway. Though? That's my question.
Yes, it does. Yes, it
okay,
does. Scott,
sounds good.
Appreciate this. I know you're up against the clock, so we do thank you for dropping by, and we'd love to do it again.
Yeah, sounds good. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.